salvation in Christ, if there's any solace of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there are any bowels of mercy or compassion, fulfill my joy in order that you may know the same thing, having the same love, all of you together, unanimously, as a unity, knowing it in yourselves, each one of you, this same love that I have and that Christ has for you. Let there be no contention, nothing in contention, nor any inanity of glory, no vanity, none of this thin kind of worrying about whether you're getting credit. But in humility, considering another person, each person, to be superior to yourself. For let no one think anything of himself more highly than he ought to think, but let him rather think more highly of others. Let this mind be in you. Know this. Feel this mind in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And then goes on the tremendous statement about Jesus and his willingness to let go of his sonship with God in order that he might become a man, and willingness to let go of his sonship with God in order that he might become a man and become sin for us, as Paul says in another place. The reason I picked this particular verse tonight was because I've been thinking this fall a lot about what does holy mean to me. You might think, well, she ought to know what holy means to her. She makes her living here, but that's not what I mean. I mean, it's not that it's Carol's and my job here. It's not that we've been here for a long time and been involved in it, in the community and in the work that's been going on here for a long time. This is a very personal kind of response that I have to Holden Village, and I would like to just tell you a little bit about it, because maybe what I have to say would be of help to you as you think about your life here this winter. The word that covers Holden for me more than anything else is grace. And the adjective that I like best in connection with grace is a Greek word, poikilos, which means many colored. And it's a word that's used by, it's not used very often in the New Testament. It was used in the Septuagint, talking about the, remember Joseph's coat? Remember, it had a lot of colors, a lot of bright stripes on it. And it was the kind of thing that all the rest of his brothers really envied because it was so bright. That's the word that's used to describe the grace of God in the New Testament. That's the same word that was used to describe Joseph's coat in the Old Testament, in the Greek translation. It's also used to describe, let me see now, there were a number of different, two or three different ones that were important. Some of them are not so important. One of them was, one of them is from Hebrews, where it talks about the witness to Christ and the miracles that had been done, and they are considered in terms of a poikilos kind of thing, a many-colored and varied kind of miracles and signs and wonders that were not examples, but sort of foundations of the proof of Christ's witness, the witness to of God to Christ. And then again in in Ephesians, Paul talks about the manifold grace of God. That's the way it's translated. But the word is poikilos again. It's the same word. It's a many-colored. And I don't know why the translations are always so carefully not using the term many-colored, as if there was something wrong with using something that has to do with color. Actually, Rudy Edmond told me, and I'm sure Dorothy would substantiate this, and when we were over there today looking at the stones, I thought about it too. That word poikilos is used as the name of one of the stones, one of the quartz stones, and I think it's one that's particularly common in Greece, but it's also present, I think, in this continent too. But he said that's one of the words that's used to define a type of stone that has a kind of a sparkle that puts a lot of color into a stone, even before it's been polished. And so when I think of that word, I think it's a really good word for holden. Because it seems to me that the way in which the many-colored grace of God spreads out over Holden Village is remarkable. Now, it's not just here, fortunately. We have no corner on that poikilos. We have no corner on that many-colored grace of God. It's every place where there are communities of Christians. But it just happens that this is the community in which I live. And therefore, I have to talk about the colors that are in this community. And I think about this many-colored grace of God not just in terms of the gifts of grace which God gives to us in the community, in terms of love and power and prophecy and insight and joy and long-suffering, both love, both the gifts and the fruits, but I think of it in terms of real human being colors, the colors of the people in the community. And that's why I read that little part from Philippians tonight, because the great thing about the grace of God when it comes into our hearts is that it begins to open us up to the many-colored graces of God around us, in terms of the people around us, so that you and I, looking around at the people that we know here in Holden, can rejoice in the colors of those people. Now, I'm going to be very specific about this. I'm not going to mention a lot of you. I'm certainly not going to mention, but I'm going to mention some people that I really rejoice in, because I'm sorry Karen wasn't here tonight, because I thought about her especially. She really is a joy to me, because she does so many things that I can't do. She and Pearl have really took over on this big sewing business that I just really enjoyed, such as this Norwegian Hardanger work that I was very, very interested in, that I spent a lot of money getting material and books and needles and instruction books. And when did I do it? Never. You know, I never get it done. But I gave it to Pearl, and Pearl said, well, okay. So she started, then Karen started, and pretty soon now we've got about 10 people in the village that are doing this beautiful, old, traditional sewing that is just really something to do. And I'm doing it, you know? I'm doing it because they're doing it. You see what I mean? I mean, that's the grace of God that allows me to live into the joy of what they're doing, even if, you know, I never get around to it. But you know, Karen's the kind of person that gets stuff like that done. I mean, if she decides to do it, she does it. Now, I can decide to do it, and I don't get it. But isn't it great that, you know, that Karen is here, and I'm here, and I get an inspiration, and I talk to her about it, and she carries it out. She gets an inspiration, and she carries it out, too. I don't carry her inspiration. But that, to me, is a great joy in a community. Another thing that I really enjoy is the fact that things get done. I used to worry about taking jobs, like being president of something or secretary of something in school or something, because I hated to have to worry about all the details. And I think of all the stuff that is taken care of around here by people like Ted and Sharon and the stuff that Werner's responsible for, and I hate to think of all the things Werner's responsible for. and I think of the stuff that Fred does, and I think they're not so dumb in mechanics. Anything that has to do with engineering, Dorothy and Chuck were talking about how they would make an experiment in physics over there with the what was it, something about
pulleys.
And I looked. Good idea, Well, I never took a course in physics. I got by without it. But I just think I really enjoy the fact that there are so many people here who understand and know what to do with all these different things. I mean, I, personally, am not able to do. I mean, I can do a limited amount of things, and just because I talk a lot, you may think I do a lot. That's not the case. But I have a lot of substitutionary living going on in this village, because when I look at somebody doing something, I think of the laundry and all the stuff that gets done over there. And I'm not talking about these as virtues or my what fine people. I just really think it's terrific that each one of us is multiplied. I mean, Ruth goes over there with Kari on her back and back and forth and back and forth and keeps everything going until there are now more people here to help her. But I mean, for a while, there were just a couple of them in the laundry. And maybe there are any more than that now. I don't know, but I'm just filled with thankfulness. There's another, many colored grace of God operating. Now you might say, well, yeah, that's a good Pollyanna way of looking at life. Just enjoy other people while they work for you. Well, that's not what I'm getting at, and I don't think you really think it is either, because actually. It's when you do as Paul says in Philippians, you look at the other person not as a threat or a competition, not as a person that's going to take your place in the sun, but as a person who is an extension again of the grace of God, and also an extension of all the things you'd like to be doing if you were 5 or 10 or 12 different people. And that's what the grace of God allows you to do in a community. You really live, like 25 lives. You don't realize this when you've just come or you've only been here a little while. But when you live here over a period of years and you see how many remarkable things are accomplished, and you realize how little you are able to do on your own. Not because you couldn't, not because you, well, you always need help, of course. Everybody needs help. But I mean, there's some things that you just simply are not capable of doing. And it's just such a mouth-watering joy to realize that you're living with people who each person is doing something different, something constructive, something destructive, something sometimes like hauling garbage, but I mean it's all something that you could not do on your own or by yourself. And this is not just in terms of different kind of little vocations that we have in the village, but it also is in terms of people, for instance, people who can sing and play, like Bruce playing the piano without any warning tonight. That I think what that would have how that would throw me, would have thrown me 20 years ago when I did take music lessons. I had to be warned if I was going to try to play something. And you think of just being able to play the piano. Well, you don't have to, because there is Bruce, and there are other people in the village who do that too. Do you realize what a many-colored grace there is in a community in Christ in which we do not feel competitive with each other? In which we are not trying to push each other around and say, it's my turn now, I want to have a chance. But where you really do look with joy on the other person because he or she is doing something that maybe you couldn't do, or if you could do, maybe you couldn't do quite as well as that person is doing, because that person is doing it with his or her own peculiar grace of God. It's really a joy to live in a community. I think of living in towns, and some of you who are from the outside world know that this is true, that there are many, many communities, and I am not thinking of Christian communities, I mean just regular communities that we live in ordinary lives. And you know, especially for women, a lot of times in suburbs, well, who gets their washing out? Or of course now they always get it into the washer and dryer. But I mean, it's always, you know, it used to be when I was young, you know, you tried to get things done before other people did, or some people tried to. And you had a sort of a competitive feeling about, well, I can, you know, at least I can make bread, or I can make this, or she does this better, or, well, I can do this just as well. I mean, there was always a little kind of a feeling that you had to kind of come up to some kind of a standard. Who made the standard? Nobody knows. But the idea that you were looking at somebody else to do a greater thing than you could do, and you expected that person to do it better, that just wasn't in it. You know, I've got to do it best. I've got to be first. I've got to be the best housekeeper. I've got to be the best cook, or I've got to be the best whatever. But the fact that you want somebody else to do it, and to really do it so that that person gets the credit and the glory, that's something that's unique to the many-colored grace of God. And that's what Paul is talking about all through Philippians, because as Carol often says, it's a good thing that those two women had a fight, because we have this beautiful epistle to the Philippians because of it. But I think it's also something that has a lot to do with both sexes, that whether it was two women that were having a fight or two men, that the problem of having the mind of Christ in us so that we really look for the glory for other people, so that they get built up, so that the other person gets credit, and not because you think, well, I really ought to do it, because that's my, you know, that's my Christian duty, but because it's an overflow. It's because you know what it's like to live before Christ and in his many-colored grace yourself, and you know that you don't have all those talents, and you really are glad that somebody else does it. For heaven's sakes, let them know it. Don't keep it inside. Tell them about it when you see that you know that somebody's done something that you really enjoy and you're grateful for it. You know, it's like the hymn said, you've got to get it out. Somebody, you must sing praises to the King, and sometimes singing praises to the King is singing praises to the people around you. And that's part of the many-colored grace of God. So I just hope that Holden is that in a little bit for you this winter, those of you who are going to be here for maybe a month or two, or maybe through the winter, that you will understand what it is to live into other people's glories, other people's graces, so that you can be delighted and thankful and praise God when you get your you know, when a physics professor can take time to come and fix and weld with a liquid solder a funny little piece on an old bathroom radiator in this old village. That radiator must have been, you know, probably 30 years old or 40 years old, and Chet said, well, I'd just like to see if this would work. And if it doesn't work, okay, we'll try something else.
It worked.
Yeah, you know, I just thought, wow. But you know, you think, well, that's kind of, you know, that's not like praying, and that's not like giving a sermon, and don't put that in the same category as prophesying or speaking in tongues or any of the charismatic gifts or what, or healing or anything like that. It is in the same category. It's all part of the many colored grace of God, because it's all the gifts that God, our Creator, has given us, and He's allowed them to be channeled in to serve one another, so that the community of Holden, which is just a small little place in the wilderness here, is able to be a light with all those colors, because you're here for one another, and you're sparkling off to each other, because Christ, who is the center of all grace, has shown on you. And isn't that great? I'd like to pray. Yes. Lord, we thank Thee that you are the kind of Lord that you are. That you are present with us, each of us. No matter how far we may be from you, you are close to us. And we pray that you will be a very real and powerful grace giver at Holden this winter, and pour out your many colored grace over each person here, so that there may be that joy in seeing the growth and the glow as your Spirit works in each person to turn the eyes outward toward Thee and toward those around about, so that the glory and the joy may be reflected in them. Help us not to be so bound up in ourselves, and while we feel and you know, who cares about us, but that there may be that outgoing outreach toward our neighbor in an actual kind of loving way that makes concrete that word poikos. Thank you, dear Lord, for the dear people here. Bless them and keep us all safe in Thy care.